Awake, how we doing? Awesome. Hey, as Luke said, my name is Dawson. I have the pleasure of leading an eighth grade group of Lake Highlands guys that are sitting over there. Also here to support me is my amazing wife, Lauren. So I want to start today off by asking you guys a question. So who here has ever had a really bad haircut? Anyone? Anyone had a haircut like so bad that you had to shave it off when you were done? Yeah. Oh man, I see some ones back there. I think I'm willing to bet that I've probably had a worse haircut than anyone here. But a bit of context, in high school, I played football for my school, and at the time it was a tradition that the freshmen on the team had to sit in a chair and that the sophomores or seniors would get a pair of clippers and would get to do anything to the freshman's hair that they wanted. And so I think we have a picture of me and one of my friends. So it was pretty bad. And yeah, I had to wear it for like 5 days before getting to shave it off. And the reason I share that story is because today we're going to walk through the story of Samson. And I know for many of you guys, you've heard this story before. You think of Samson as the really strong guy with the long hair. But I hope that as we get to dive deeper into this story today, that we can learn more about Samson. And I think also we'll learn a lot more about God and even some things probably about ourselves and see some ways that we're similar to Samson. So I'm going to pray for us and then we are going to jump into scripture. Dear Lord, just thank you for this wonderful morning. Lord, thank you for these students and leaders gathered here together in Wake. Lord, I pray that you would just use me here and that these would be your words through me and not my own. Lord, I pray that we would learn through the story of Samson and Lord, that we would just be reminded how you use broken people for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you guys that don't know, the story of Samson is in the book of Judges, which is one of the first books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And so a little bit of context before we start about Samson. The book of Judges starts with Joshua leading the Israelite people into the Promised Land. So if you guys know your Old Testament, they spent so much time trying to get in to the Promised Land and can't. And then finally Joshua leads the people there, and the book of Judges starts with Joshua actually dying, and there not being a natural person to take over from his leadership. And so this book is about a series of judges, and don't think like judges in a courtroom. Don't think like, you know, Judge Judy or something like that. Think of like a military or a political leader that God appointed in a different part of Israel. And so Joshua dies, these judges slowly take over, and God is very clear. He says, hey, now that you dwell in the Promised Land, you are to drive all of the Canaanite people, so the people that had been living in the Promised Land and keeping the Israelites out, you are to drive all of these people out, and the Israelites don't do a great job of that. And so before Samson, there's a handful of judges we talk about, and we'll see a repeated pattern over and over again and with the Israelite people. And we'll see this as well in Samson. So what typically happens with these judges is, so the Israelites will start to sin and they will turn away from God and worship the gods of the Canaanite people. Because of that, God will allow them to fall into the hands of their enemies, and they'll begin to be oppressed and not live great lives. And after this happens, they'll typically cry out to God, realize what they've done is wrong, and then God will send a judge to deliver them and set them free from the current things that are happening. And from there, peace is restored, the Israelite people go back to normal, but what continues to happen is after peace is restored, they forget what had happened and they start this cycle all over again, and they sin and they look just like the Canaanite people that are also living in the land. So this has already happened a few times in the book of Judges before we get to the story of Samson. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Judges 13, very first verse of the chapter. And it says, "And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And so right here, we see like in one verse, the first two steps of this cycle. And so they've sinned and God has allowed them to be delivered into the hands of the Philistines. Going down a few verses, looking at verse 5, we see the story of Samson's birth. And it says that an angel of the Lord came to Samson's mother and says this. It says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." And so here's an important detail that I know many of you guys know about this story. But this angel comes to Samson's mother and directly says, "Hey, you are not to have this child's hair cut ever in their life." And if you guys are reading carefully, you might see this term Nazarite and not know what that means. And basically what that means is it's a person that has set themselves apart and has join themselves with God. It is just someone that wants to follow God closely. And there's specifically three things that a Nazarite must do. And one of them, namely for this story, is that they would not cut their hair. And so this chapter just outlines the birth of Samson. Moving along to the next couple chapters, this kind of talks about, in 14 and 15, it talks about Samson's somewhat rise to power and how God starts using him as a judge, and he, in an attempt to save the Israelite people and using the strength that God had given him, he kills thousands of the Philistine people. But, you know, we could spend a lot of time going through this text, but to summarize, he, every time he does something mighty and courageous, like to save the Israelite people, it says that he is filled with God's spirit. And so the text makes it very clear that it's not, you know, Samson's hair that's making him strong. It's him trusting in God. But through these two chapters, we see slowly Samson becomes more violent, more angry, and more prideful. And so he's slowly kind of walking away from God. And that brings us to chapter 16, which is a story, or the part of the story most of you probably know, and where we're going to spend the majority of our time today. So in the start of 16, the Philistine people are tired of getting beat up on by Samson. And they go to a Philistine woman named Delilah, and they offer to pay her to go and get Samson's secret as to why he is so strong. And it's important to note, you know, much like God had asked the Israelite people to drive out the Canaanite people from the promised land, he was also very clear that the Israelites were not supposed to be with the Canaanites. They weren't, you know, Samson, an Israelite male, was not supposed to be with a Canaanite or Philistine woman. And so Samson, in talking with her, knew what he was doing was wrong. But three different times, Delilah comes to him and asks, "Hey, what is the secret to your strength?" And three different times, Samson gives her an answer that's untrue. Until finally, she's tired of him lying and knowing that it's not taking away his strength. And ultimately, he tells her that his hair is what is giving him his strength. And so as a result of this, want to make a quick note really quick. I think it's important to know that, and I'm sure many of you guys do realize this, but it's not the actual hair on Samson that is giving him power. That is symbolic of him trusting in God and holding true to this promise that he had set before. So God is way, way stronger than a haircut. He's way more powerful than that. But him having not cut his hair is him keeping true to that promise with God. And so after Samson tells Delilah why he is so powerful, the Philistine men come and cut his hair, and they're even extremely brutal. They get rid of his eyes so he no longer can see. And at this point, Samson is weak, and he has disobeyed God. He has given into this, and he has had his hair cut. Going to chapter 16, verse 22, it says, "But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." And so I read this, and I think two things. I think first, I think what is trying to be portrayed here also is very obvious, that Samson's hair is growing back. And so I think with that, his power. And I think also he's realized that what he has done is wrong, and he is being repentant, and his faith in God and trust in him is slowly coming back. And so from there, he is weak, but he is regaining his faith, and he is regaining his strength. And the Philistines rejoice that they have finally caught this man who had been slaughtering their people and trying to free the Israelites. And so they throw a banquet, and bring Samson out, who obviously is weak and can't see. And when Samson is brought in to the middle of the room, in verse 26 right now, if you want to follow along, it says, "And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, he said, 'Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them.' Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes.'" And so Samson is realizing what he has done wrong, and also in this moment realizes, hey, God has put me here so that I can free the Israelites and defeat the Philistines. And he cries out to God for strength. And so as he does, he puts both of his hands on the two inmost pillars in this house, and the Lord gives him strength, and he pushes against them, and the entire house crumbles. It says killing 3,000 Philistine men and women, and all of the leaders of the Philistines are there, and Samson as well dies. And I don't know about you guys, but when I see this image of outstretched arms and calling on the Lord for strength, I think of Samson as a less perfect version and sacrifice and servant and leader, but pointing us towards Christ, who also with outstretched arms and taking on some punishment set the Israelite people free in a much bigger way eternally, and not just for the Israelite people, for us as well. And so that's the story of Samson, and I think that portrays his character well. But I think just a couple thoughts I had and applications that I hope you guys can understand from this, and that you can talk about in your groups. And so the first thing is that while Samson chose to disobey God, he realizes in the last moments of his life that his strength comes from Christ alone. And so I think for us, that's a reminder that, you know, no one is too far from the gospel. God is bigger than anything holding people away. And so I know many of you may have people in your lives that you think are so far from God. And I hope that you see this picture of Samson in the last moments of his life being chosen to be used by the Lord, and are encouraged by that. Second thought is, much like Samson, I think it can be easy for us to drift away from God. And I know for many of you guys know this, and leaders, I'm positive you guys know this, but if we are not choosing daily to be more like Christ, we're not going to slowly become more like him, or really even stay the same. We're going to slowly look more like the rest of the world. And so for Samson, it looked like he he was experiencing the power that the Lord had given him and quickly got prideful and arrogant and slowly kind of walked away from the Lord, which allowed him to make these bad decisions in the end. And so I think there's definitely some thoughts that we can relate to there. And then finally, I think this should remind us that God does not need us to be perfect, to be used for his glory, but simply that we would be willing to be used and that we would trust in him. Man, God does not need you guys to have perfect, sinless lives to be used in your schools, in your families, wherever you are, to be an encouragement and to share the gospel. Thankfully, as I said, much greater than the sacrifice of Samson to help save the Israelite people, we have a great high priest and someone far greater than the judges, Jesus, who died to make us right with God and be an atonement for all of our sins. And as a result, we don't have to be perfect, right? God can use us as we are. And so I know sometimes when I make mistakes, I can be quick to think that God can't use me in current areas. But I pray that we would remember what Samson did here and how despite his flaws, that God used him in a major way to save the Israelite people. So that's all I've got for you guys. I'm going to pray, and then I think most of you know what to do, but I bet Parker or Luke will come up here and dismiss you to your groups. Dear Lord, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, I thank you for the story of Samson, and I thank you that we can just learn through your word. Lord, I pray that we would realize, Lord, that despite any of our flaws, Lord, you can use us to further your kingdom, that you are bigger than any of the sinful decisions we make and that you've already forgiven them. So I pray for fruitful and focused conversation in groups, and that everyone would have something that they take away. In Jesus' name, amen.